The Roman soldier's helmet was a fascinating piece of armory. It was flamboyant piece. It was a flamboyant piece of weaponry and very intricate. Let me say this, that the Roman soldier's outfit, you'd see I guess they would call them legion then, of Roman soldiers, and they would almost all look alike, except they had the ability and the permission to get their personality kind of connected to their helmet. Wow. And they could kind of create with their helmet, you know. I mean, that's pretty cool. Okay. The helmet of a Roman soldier looked more like a piece of artwork than a helmet. His helmet was beautiful. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a warfare side of this helmet, too, we're going to talk about. His helmet was beautiful. Rather than a simple piece of metal that had been formed to fit the head of a soldier, the helmet of the Roman soldier was highly decorated with all kinds of engravings and etchings. It was not uncommon for pastoral farm scenes with all kinds of animals to be depicted on the helmet of a Roman soldier. If you're a Roman soldier and you lived on Grand Lake, it might have a whole stringer of crappie you etched on your own. I thought I'd use a little liberality so you could grasp what I'm trying to say here. Frequently, the entire helmet of a Roman soldier was fashioned to look like the head of an elephant, the head of a horse, or another animal. Some helmets had engravings and etchings with fruit on them. Think of how odd some of these helmets must have been to behold. To look at some soldier was like looking at a fruit basket on a man's head. Others looked like they had elephants and horses on their heads. That's the reason that these helmets looked more like a piece of sculpture than they looked like a piece of armor. Furthermore, as if the fabulous engravings and etchings were not enough, a huge plume of brightly colored feathers or brightly colored horsehair stood straight up on the top of the helmet. And if the helmet was one to be used in a public ceremony or parade, this brightly colored plume could be very long, long enough to hang all the way down to the back of the soldier. The helmet was made of bronze and was equipped with pieces of armor that were specific. Now, see, that's the colorful side of it. That's the parade side of it. That's sounds like to me that they wanted to be noticed for their helmet. They wanted to draw off the fact, this is my helmet. How many know I think it's the same thing with salvation? Amen. I'm saved, man. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Are you saved? Yeah. No, I'm saved. You know, I see people for hospice all the time, and if I don't even have to ask them if they're really saved, I don't have to say anything. They say, I'm saved and I know where I'm going. How many know they're putting the helmet on? They're showing me their engravings. And the other thing about that is it's personal. It's special. Every one of us could give a testimony tonight of how the Lord brought us to salvation, right? And it's very special. It's very special and it's very personal to us, right? The helmet was made of bronze. It was equipped with pieces of armor that were specifically designed, this is so good, to protect the cheeks and the jaws. How many know when you put on salvation, you quit cussing? It was extremely heavy. Protect your jaw. I ain't saying what you used to say. I don't know where that word came from. It came from you. That's where it came from. Have you ever seen kids cuss and the parents say, I don't know where they're getting it. Yeah. Well, I will say they could be getting it from school, definitely. All right. One time I was preaching one place and a guy got up to preach and he cussed and he said, that's for all you that are traditional. After church, he said, how'd you enjoy our service? I said, I'm too traditional to enjoy it. Amen. Don't get in an argument with me. The helmet was made of bronze and equipped with pieces of armor that were specifically designed to protect the cheeks and jaws. It was extremely heavy and therefore the interior of the helmet was lined with sponge in order to soften the weight of the helmet upon the head of the soldier. Now listen to why it was so heavy. The piece of armor was so strong, so massive, and so heavy that nothing could pierce it, not even a hammer or a battle axe. You know, in Roman soldier fighting, and when they fought in that time of era of time, that a soldier would have a battle axe. You know, I've heard of people being a battle axe before. I didn't really know that there was a battle axe. And what they would do is they would use that as they knocked their opponent down to try to chop their head off. Well, the helmet was so tight and so powerful and so strong, it had to be so heavy that it went all the way down the neck and the side so that you couldn't get the helmet off. You had to knock the helmet off to chop the head off. As long as the helmet stood on, you didn't lose your head. Amen. I don't even have to tell you what that means. Some people lost their head, amen, because they quit being saved. And it would be very hard to walk just one of these soldiers without, it would be very hard to walk past one of these soldiers without noticing them. You would definitely take note of a man who had a brightly colored plum standing straight up on the top of the helmet. These helmets made the Roman soldier noticeable. How many know our salvation and everything it includes and us walking in it makes us noticeable? Right? If the Roman soldier did not have a helmet on when he went out to fight, he could absolutely be sure he'd lose his head. Simple. I mean, a lot of people lost their head because they didn't keep saved. Now, this helmet fit tightly around the head to protect him when that opponent would use that battle axe to try to chop his head off. How many of the same things true with us? If we don't meditate, speak, study, dig into the Word of God, and walk in everything that in salvation includes, when we get in a battle with the devil, he will chop our head off.
That's good.
Amen? I'm giving you some things you need to do to tighten that helmet up. The first one is connected with the attractiveness and the parade. I call it the parade or the standing out colorful thing of that arm. How many of that helmet said, I'm a Roman soldier and this is who I am? Amen. So the first step in tightening that helmet up is to recognize the beauty and the attractiveness and the speciality, if I could use that word, of being born again and what all that means. See, you can't, we're going to talk about more tonight about how that salvation is included in everything, because you got to understand that when you put this helmet on. But you always have to start out with this first principle. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to go to hell. No matter what I go through. I want to read a scripture to you. I want you to turn to this scripture because I use this scripture when I preach a series on the joy of the Lord. For years I've been preaching on joy, and one of my favorite things to preach on. And in fact, Brother Hagin's known for faith, and I think I'm known, he was known for faith. I think I'm known for preaching on joy because I preach it so much. This is one of the scriptures I used. And I think this scripture is the start of us understanding that when we put the helmet on, there's special etchings and special attractiveness to that helmet because we're so excited that we're saved. See, sometimes some of us have been saved so long that we forget how wonderful it is to be saved. Because we got involved in church and problems in church and preaching ministry and what was wrong with everybody but us. And we forgot we're saved. You know, I joke sometimes and tell everybody that I've been preaching for 100 years because I've been married for 99 years. But that's not true. I've only been married for 38 years, and there's not too many days that go by that I don't look at that lady and think, I can't believe that girl married me. First, I can't believe she made out with me. I can't believe she ever kissed me. I can't believe she ever put up with me. Amen. I'm doing good, ain't I? Amen. And but you know what? She might look at you and kind of be embarrassed if you look at her right now. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't say anything that's not the truth right then, and she'll tell you. I think I've said that to her today. I'm just glad I'm married to this girl. She's still my girlfriend. She's the best looking. No, I used to say it to me, but that's not true. She's the best looking woman I've ever seen. She's my girl, right?
Yes.
And I see the same girl I saw this minute, first day I fell in love with her. The first day I ever went out with her was on when I was in Bible school, and I walked the Gulf Coast Galveston with her. And I backed away for a while from her because I was scared to death, because the minute I touched her, held her hand, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you're going to marry her. Which wasn't the reason I went to Bible school. And if she'd have known God spoke that to me after 20-something years of marriage, she'd be the one going, you know. She didn't want them. But how many know it's still real? It's still wonderful. It's still great. That's the way your salvation, that just simply being saved. I want to read this scripture to you. Luke 10th chapter, verse number 19. Jesus had commissioned his disciples to go out and cast out devils and heal the sick, freely receive, freely give. And they're coming back and they're excited about what happened. In Luke 10, 19, it says, look, and this is out of New Living. Verse 19 says, look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. How many believe that's a tremendous scripture? How many believe we should rejoice over that? You're all wrong. We shouldn't. Read the next verse. What's it say? But, now this is New Living. It's going to say basically the same thing. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Isn't that just contrary to the way we see in Christianity? Oh, devils are subject to us, woohoo! No, that's not your place of joy. No. Don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice. I now say the reason using New Living is because of the way it says it. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. You want to get me something? I'm registered in heaven. Woo, glory. Isn't that good? My name's written in the book. That's the first stop, the first place of winning spiritual battles with your helmet of salvation on, recognizing the joy that you should be walking in because you're saved, and because you're saved, your name is written in heaven. See, I've used it for years. You can use that as a spiritual weapon against the devil. When the devil attacks you and says, you're going to die of this, or this bad thing's going to happen, or that bad thing's going to happen, just respond to him this way. Say, well, you'll have to excuse me, but I feel sorry for you, because you see, what I'm going through is temporary, and what you're going through is permanent, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and yours will never be there! Amen? Ouch. Amen. Amen. But your name's in it. Somebody come and say, I just feel so discouraged. But your name's in the book. I had a bad day, but your name's in the book. I had a bad hair day. Well, you had a hair day. I don't care. I don't. Somebody asked me the other day. I said, "Does it bother you to lose your hair and have just white?" No, you know why? My name's in the book. This is temporary. My name in the book is permanent. The greatest protection from your mind getting depressed and oppressed, and the devil chopping your head off, is you walking in the first and most obvious benefit of salvation, that your name's in the book and the devil's is not. Amen? Amen. Second, you must, if you're going to win this warfare in your mind, because this is about your mind. You know, that's why the helmet of salvation is protecting your mind. That's the spiritual application. For you to win the battle in the mind with salvation, you need to understand what salvation means. You can't, listen. We like to separate salvation from healing, prosperity, peace of mind, etc. But you can't, because the price for all that came from the same event and the same person. The cross of Calvary that Jesus paid the price for. How many of you value something? The way something is valued is by the price that was paid for it. The price for your salvation and the price for healing was the same price, Jesus.
Come on.
You can't separate them. People have tried for years to do that. They can't. Now let me read a scripture These are all going to be on the screen, but if you want to turn to these, that's fine too. You can read this one with me. It's very familiar. Romans, the 10th chapter, we use this a lot when people, we're leading people to the Lord. It says, and thanks girls for getting that on there. I appreciate it. It says, but what saith it? Of course, I gave them the scriptures. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, how many know it's real easy? Confess him as Lord, believe he raised from the dead, and you'll be saved. But what's hard is for us to grasp the reality of what that word means. How simple it is for all things. Look at the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So what's saved mean? Well, it means I'm not going to hell. Yeah. Means I'm born again. Yeah. Means I'm right with God. Yeah. But listen to the Greek what the word salvation is. Salvation is an all-inclusive word. It includes anything that God can do for you.
Wow, that's good. Very good.
Now listen to this. This is out of the Word Study Dictionary. The word salvation means safe, delivered, to save, to make whole, to heal, to preserve, safe from danger, loss, or destruction. Well, if you read that scripture, it says, if you confess with the mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in the heart, God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth his confession is made unto salvation. And you just isolate to one thing, you wouldn't be getting all it is. Well, if confession makes us unto salvation, it also makes us unto safety, because safety is a part of salvation. It makes us also to be delivered, because deliverance is a part of salvation. It also makes us whole, because being whole is a part of salvation. It also heals us, because healing is a part of salvation. It also preserves us safe from danger, because that is a part of salvation. It also is about us being not lost, and because it's a part of salvation. Destruction, not being destroyed, salvation. 14 times when that word, it's the Greek word zozo, 14 times it's related to deliverance from disease or demons, demon possession, just in the gospel. In 20 incidents just in the gospels, the influence is to the rescue of physical life from impending peril or instant death. So I want to say that one more time. Just in the Gospels, not the whole New Testament, just in the Gospels. That zozo word, salvation. It was 14 times it's related to deliverance from disease or demon possession. 14 times just in the Gospels. All right? Same word. Same word. Somebody said, do you mean that you can't disconnect them? No. See, we disconnect them, and that's where the problem is. Okay? 20 incidents in just the Gospels, it's referring to physical life or impending peril or instant death being rescued from that. 20 times just in the Gospels. Okay? Remember in the Bible, the story in the Bible about Jairus' daughter, and he came to Jesus and he asked him to heal his daughter, and he said he would come. And when he was coming, the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole, and she began to testify about what God had done. In the middle of that testimony, Luke tells us that one of the servants came and said that his daughter had died, and don't trouble the master any further. Remember what Jesus told to him? He said, don't be afraid, only believe. For the heart man believeth. He said, and thy daughter shall be made whole. When the word healing, health, or wholeness is mentioned in that story, every time it's the same word that is used when it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah. Included in the package. See, healing is not an added blessing. It's a part of the blessing package. When you get a new job, you don't just look for how much you're going to get paid. You look at the benefits. Healing is a part of the salvation benefits. It's not something, well, God may do, God may not do. No, it's a part of the benefits, right? What does Psalms 103 say? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgetting all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases. Okay? Now, I want you to read this verse with me in James, the 5th chapter, verse 14 and 15. You say, why is this so important? Because the way the enemy attacks you, he may not attack you about being born again, but if you don't have that helmet on tight, he'll get you in those areas. Yeah. If you water it down, he'll get you in the mind in those areas. And we'll find out how the enemy works tonight too. James 5, 14 and 15 says, are you there? I want you to see that if you got your Bible out. If you got it on your phone, you already should be there. It says in James 5, 14 and 15, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let they pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will do what? Save the sick. It didn't say it will heal the sick. It said save the sick. Why does it say save the sick? Same Greek word. Doesn't matter. It means the same thing. And then, of course, if you go on, it says, and the Lord shall raise them up, and they've committed these sins. What will happen? They'll be forgiven. Why is that said that way? It's very simple. Forgiveness of sin and healing comes from the same source, salvation in the Lord. And that's what you're supposed to be tightening your helmet up with. All right? Now, do you know what's in the New Old Testament? Oh, yeah, it's in the Old Testament. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, you know why that's so important? That scripture is so important. Can somebody guess why that's so important? Read it one more time. See if you can catch it. Therefore, with joy, you shall draw water from the...
wells.
How many?
Wells.
Plural. More than one well. Amen. How many takes more than one well? When you get saved, you get wells in you. Yeah, you get wells in you. Because Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He didn't say how many wells had those living water. He just said there was a living water going to flow out of you, right? It takes more than one well to contain the benefits that happen when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, that was a prophetic one. And I got this one the other day. I confess this scripture almost every morning, all right? I'm not lying. I confess it every morning and sometimes in the middle afternoon during the day. Psalms 91, I could just teach on Psalms 91. There's so many good things about it. I'm just going to roll and read it real fast here. I'm going to read it as a confession, all right? Like I'm confessing it. Listen to this. I dwell in the secret place, the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Lord, I'm saying about you that you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God, and you will I trust. You will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That's King James. Noisome pestilence means a progressive gnawing away at you disease. I'm delivered from that. Amen. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. His truth is my shield and buckler. I'm not going to be afraid of the terror by night. I'm not going to be afraid of the arrow that flieth by day. I'm not going to be afraid of the pestilence that walketh darkness or the destruction that wastes of noonday.
Come on.
1,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not going to come near me. Only with my eyes am I going to behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. Verse 10, there's no evil going to befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep me in all my ways. Everywhere I go, there's angels protecting me. They will bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against the stone. I will tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon shall I trample under feet. I will set my love upon Him, therefore He'll deliver me, and He set me on high because I'll know His name. I will call upon you, Father, and you'll answer me, and you'll be with me in trouble, and you'll deliver me, and you'll honor me, and long life you'll satisfy me.
Yes.
Wow. Here we go, very last part.
Yes.
And what will He do? And show me my salvation. My salvation is His salvation, right? Why was that's the last thing that was mentioned? Because everything that the rest of those verses said was because of God's salvation. Yeah, but Brother Mark, that's Old Testament salvation. And we live in New Testament salvation. I'm glad you brought that up. Even though I'm the one that actually did. Hebrews 8:6 says, oh, you know this verse. But now hath He attained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. May I submit to you that better promises doesn't mean different promises, it just means more promises. Yeah. I'll prove that to you. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. This is, I'm getting hooked on this translation called The Voice. It's really good. For those of you that are offended and think you shouldn't read other translations, go ahead and go somewhere and get a life and come back, okay? Look at what it says. I don't have time to fool with stupidity. That's the second thing we're going to put on our ministry bylaws. We don't have to listen to stupid statements. And when somebody says something stupid to me, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, my bylaws will not permit me to listen to you. Amen. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, the anointed one, the liberating king. Now this is out of the voice. The anointed one, Jesus. That's who that is. The liberating king has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it was stated in the scriptures, everyone who hangs on a tree is cursed by God. That it was God, that this is what God had in mind all along. The blessing he gave to Abraham might extend to all nations through the anointed one, Jesus. And we are the beneficiaries of this promise of the Spirit that comes only through faith. Did you get the voice up there? I didn't know if you had that one. That's probably horrifying. Yeah. We are the beneficiaries of what Abraham was blessed with by God. How did Abraham get those blessings? God spoke a blessing over him. I get Abraham's blessing. I don't just get what he was, listen guys, I don't just get what he was blessed with. I get the blessing that God spoke over Abraham.
That's good.
How do I get it? By being in Christ Jesus. When did I get in Christ Jesus? When I got saved. Now, it was already a reality, but it didn't become a reality for me until after I got saved. Amen? Hey, Abraham's blessings are mine. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all. Everybody say all. All means how many? All. For all. Did you eat all the bread, Mark? Yes, I did. I don't eat bread no more, but I used to. That's why I'm on a diet, because I used to eat all the bread. For all. The promises of God in Him, that's talking about Jesus, are yes and amen. Right? It says, in Him are yea, or yes, and in Him amen. God, is that promise for me? Yeah! Does it say yeah there? Yeah, yay. Is that promise over in the Old Testament behind? Yeah! In Christ it's mine. Yeah! When did I become in Christ? When I got what?
Saved.
That means when I got saved, being saved meant every promise God ever made in the Bible. If He'd made it to a 3-foot midget that had one eye, and that when you said, I can't get it because it's a 3-foot midget that had one eye, it don't matter. I'm a child of God now. I'm in Christ. It is still mine. And it worked. I used to be a 3-foot midget. No, that's a joke. Amen. You got to go to Ephesians 1:3. I've got to hurry, guys. I got too much stuff here. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, you see, we just read that verse very quickly. We don't need to read it quickly, okay? Look at verse 3 again. Blessed, that's praise. I'm praising God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, I'm praising Him. Here's the reason why. Who hath blessed us? Now, so you got to study what that means. Who hath blessed us? Old Testament times, predominantly prophet, sometimes father, sometimes a priest. God would come upon them And they would speak a word of blessing to a person, family, or a nation. Right? Once that word came out of them from God, it was going to come to pass. If it had conditions to be met, yes, those conditions had to be met. But when that Spirit of God would come on that prophet, most of the time it was a prophet, and he would speak those words of blessing, you couldn't change it. Numbers 23:19. If you read Numbers 23:19, it says, God's not a man that he should lie, neither son of man repent. That's what it's talking about if you really study it. Verse 20 says, I have received commandment to bless. The whole story is just rich. We don't have time to get into it tonight. I've received commandment to bless, and I will bless. And they said, I cannot reverse it. Once the blessing was out there and the condition was met, all hell could break loose and it wouldn't reverse the blessing. This said, we've been blessed. We've been spoken words of blessing over, and the words of blessing we've been spoken over is every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? That means every blessing. You say, we're talking about spiritual blessings. Every blessing in the Bible started out spiritually because it came from the Holy Spirit. Every word of blessing that the priest, the prophet, or the king ever spoke over anybody is yours. It's yours. Because you're in Christ Jesus. When did I become in Christ Jesus? When I got saved. So when I got saved, I got every blessing that was ever spoken over anybody in the Bible. Now, do you know why you have to put on the helmet of salvation? You've got to cover your mind with it, because the devil knows that. And if you learn that, he will do everything he can to stop that from happening in your life. Amen?
Right.
Well, what you have to do is tighten up that helmet. Amen? Y'all want 3 steps to understand the devil? Would you like to understand the devil? How he operates. It's 3 words in the Bible that tell you exactly how he operates. Go to Ephesians 6:11 over there in Ephesians 6 chapter. It's the same progress. He does the same thing. The devil doesn't do anything new. Did you hear me? He doesn't do anything new. He's never done anything to you that he hadn't done to anybody else. Well, my situation is a little more unique. No, it's not. It's unique to you, but it's not unique to the devil. He does the same thing. If you recognize what he's doing, you can defeat him. And it's a fight. And it's all up here. Spiritual warfare is not something out there. The Christians used to go around and I preach for pastors and say, there's an evil spirit in this town and it's keeping God from working in this town. Ah, 3 Chinese to that. Fooey, fooey, fooey. Jesus defeated that evil spirit. The problem is the minds of people. When you speak the truth and they receive it, spiritual warfare is won. Okay? There's a certain spirit over this town. That spirit's already defeated. It's understanding how the devil operates and defeating him is what you have to do, right? Ephesians 6:11 says, we're talking about putting on the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. First word is the word wiles. He starts with the wiles. All right? Wild means, where we get the word method or methodist, it means method. You know what the word actually means, wile? And listen, this is so good. It means to go down a road. The devil, when he attacks, always goes down the same path. How many know a road's headed somewhere? And you got to get on the certain road to get to the certain place. So there's a certain road that the devil's going to go down. Number two, go to, Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Now all these are good on their own. And I'm just kind of going through them pretty fast here. So we can get done. You guys can go home after God's done. All right? 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 11. It's interesting. This is talking about unforgiveness in these passages, but I just isolated this one verse. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant." Some people are, "of his devices." Okay, this is a ABC, step one, step two, step three. This is devil, step one, step two, step three, attacking you. Number one, he goes down a road. Number two, he uses a device. The word device comes from the root word for mind. But the Greek word that is used here means more than just mind. It means the scheming of the mind. So that road's headed to your mind. And he has a scheme that will cause you to take that helmet off and open your mind. You know, how many of you watch about 5 minutes of the liberal news media and then you take something and believe God you won't throw up? I'd use a new trick. It's called turn it off. I've used the next trick, never turn it back on. But what's interesting is you get caught somewhere where you have to listen to it, like at the, you know, the car place or something like that. And it's so interesting that I can, now that not, I don't watch it at all, well, I like to be informed. No, you like to be lied to. Amen, because you're not really getting informed. But what I've noticed is I have the Holy Ghost, and I can tell when they're lying. Immediately. And I can tell what they're up to. It's a scheme. And one of the things they say a lot about us group, especially where this gay stuff is concerned, homosexual stuff is concerned, they say, we're not open-minded. May I say, that's the first thing you've ever said that's exactly the truth. I am not open-minded. If I was open-minded, the devil would attack my mind and I would be defeated every time. I can't afford to be open-minded. I need to be closed-minded because I'm trying to protect my mind. Now, my heart can be open and I can love people that are in sin. My heart's open to praise God different ways. Amen. I'm open that way. I'm open to different styles of ministries. I'm open to that. I'm open to loving people that are unlovable. I'm open to people that disagree with me, but I'm still closed-minded. I'm not going to accept something that's contrary to what the Bible says. I'm sorry. I don't care who thinks it, whether it's a popular thing. I can't afford to be open-minded because that's the way I get destroyed. Because it's a scheme. So he goes down a road. He has a scheme. And then here's what happens. It's called deception. How many know deception is not the start? The start is the road and the scheme. And you buy into it. Right? You ever heard of these Ponzi schemes and stuff like that? To me, they start out with, this is really not a pyramid thing. That's why I don't get in them, because that's the first lie they tell. Thank you. Matthew 24:24. Besides, Jesus is my way to prosperity. How many know he's the answer, not your thing. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Deception, deceive. Deceive means I'm wondering, to cause to wonder, to lead astray. That's what deception is. But can I submit to you a thought here about deception? Yes, it is to means to wander away. But how do I know for you to wander away, something has to be baited to pull you away. Right? He's going down a road. You open your mind to his little scheme. Got him. Now here's the bait to pull him away from the benefits of salvation. There are a lot of people not here tonight because that's happening in their lives. Amen. And by the way, I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about people in the church or were in the church. Now, what must we do? Okay. Guys, I got time, right? Okay. It's 7:25. I don't, I'd tell you what time it is, but this is some good stuff. All right. Okay. Go to, you know, like I said, you don't have to turn to these. This is how they amplified. Go to 1 Peter 1:13. Four things you got to do. Okay. I'm going to read the scriptures, comment, and I'm going to tell you what you got to do. First thing you got to do. This is the first thing you got to do. And I use this translation because it really depicts what I wanted to share. King James, I think, says gird up. So brace up your minds. How many know when you got your helmet on, if it's too loose, you got to brace it and make it stronger, right? When I used to play football, the helmets were always tight because if they were loose, you could get your clock clean, couldn't you? Right? You had to make sure they were tight enough. And they were cushioned good enough. So brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert, set your hope holy and unchangeable on the grace and divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus Christ the Messiah is revealed. How many know he's been revealed for now, for what we need, and we are supposed to set ourselves in the grace of God and brace ourselves. So the first step is brace yourself. You're going to get hit. The devil is not happy with what you get because you're saved. He's going to, especially when you start developing a walk with God and you start grabbing all those promises that salvation includes, he's going to hit you with everything he can hit you with. So the first thing you got to do is brace yourself. You're going to get hit. That makes me afraid. No, it shouldn't make you afraid. I mean, the best way to defeat the enemy is to be prepared for him. Isn't that right? In this security thing we're doing, how many know we're bracing ourselves? I mean, you know, if we're braced, he may not bother us. If we're ill-prepared, we've opened the door for a scheming and then a deception, right? Yes. Number two, what I need to do, get ready for the hit. What's the next thing I need to do? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 4 is interesting where it says strongholds. Strongholds actually has two meanings. One meaning was what it meant first, and then as this other word was used for stronghold, it meant that, okay? First thing for stronghold meant was a wall. How many know walls keep things in, out? Right? Excuse me, let's say again. Walls keep things out. There's a lot of people who aren't free today because they quit. They kept things out that could have blessed them and delivered them. Yeah, believe that healing stuff. Or they kept somebody out that had a ministry, that had a word of God's word or word of life for them that would have set them free, and they refused to receive it and they build up a wall.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first word for stronghold. Second word for stronghold means a tower and almost like a tower in a prison. You know what that tells me? When it was a wall, I kept God out. And because I kept God out, I've got a stronghold and I can't break free. And it's all up here. Maybe you got hurt in church and so you built up a wall and thought by building up that wall you'd never get hurt. Well, you may think you'll never get hurt. Right now you'll never be free. But I got good news. Salvation, walking in a renewed mind in salvation, will tear that wall down. Because look at what verse 5 says. How many know God's a forgiving God? You got to swallow your pride and admit you haven't. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How many know they can be knocked down? And we're going to show you the very, very well-known verse we use. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is so good. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? Let's say you repent, we lay hands on you, pastor may pray over you, or somebody else in pastor prays for you, you get deliverance, you start standing on the word. How many know the devil's going to go down the same road? And he's going to go through your mind again, and he's going to scheme, and if he can get that mind open again, he's going to throw some more bondage your way by deception, isn't he? But you know better now, so what are you going to do? You're going to do verse 5, the last part of it especially. You're going to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. That Greek word for thought is the same word that was used when it talked about device. You're going to make every device captive to the obedience of Christ. Rick Renner in his book, he's a Greek scholar, and he said the best word picture of the word captivity there is like, and this is true from biblical times, they would tie they didn't handcuff, what they used like stocks behind somebody's back, and they would lead them, and they were forced to go exactly the way that prison guard made them go. They were tied up. They stuck a spear in their back and pushed them in the back with that spear. Tell them, you go here. You go here. Get that word picture that every thought that comes through your mind, you're going to capture it and tell it what to do. Sometimes the enemy throws stuff at me. I'll be driving down the road working for hospice and your mind goes 1,000 miles an hour and you wonder what's going on or preaching or whatever it is. And I'll just say, shut up. I'll be studying the Bible or praying or speaking the word in the middle of speaking the word that tries to lure me away and I'll just go, shut up! I'll do that. Okay, number one is brace yourself. Number two is don't let your... Here's how you keep the helmet on. Tight. Tight! You can't play with this. Right? Can't play with it. Never been more serious. Can't play with this. It's just, I've got 10 things in my life that I've had to overcome because I played with some stuff. I don't care how anointed you are. You can't play with stuff in your mind. You can't put anything into your mind that will lead you down the wrong road. Right? Well, you know, that movie had a little few bad words in it. Can't watch it! Say, oh, but we live in the grace of God. Yeah, I live in the grace of God that empowers me that I don't have to do that. Grace is more than a forgiver, it's an empowerer. It's not an enabler. Listen. Not going to let it in. Not going to let it in. I'm going to tell it what to do. My thoughts aren't going to control me. I'm going to control my thoughts because I have a helmet of salvation on. And if what I'm thinking is not included, Charlie, in the salvation package, I ain't thinking anymore. I have to have a doctor's test run Thursday, and the devil's told me all kinds of things. I'll be driving around, shut up! That's not a part of salvation. Amen. And that'll quote scripture, right? No weapon formed against me prosper. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. I do it every day, every morning, every night. I do that. I speak those scriptures. Now, number one, be ready for the attack. Brace yourself. Number two, control your thoughts. Number three, did I say there were four? There's only three. Number three, I'm not going to let my thoughts control me. I'm controlling my thoughts. Right? Don't be so proud that you think right, because a lot of times you don't think right. You're not that intelligent. No, seriously. Your mind doesn't have all the answers. One of the greatest revelations I ever figured out was God was smarter than I was. Some people haven't got that revelation yet. Mark 11:20, because if they did, if they had that revelation, they would have praised God like nobody's business tonight after what Pastor preached this morning. They would have tried to interpret it. They would have obeyed it. Mark 11:23 says, aren't you glad I only have one more service? Maybe Pastor may not be after that. He might like that really good. Mark 11:23. Speak to it. Talk to those thoughts. You don't overcome a bad thought by thinking. You overcome a bad thought by speaking. Let me give you an example. I heard a minister do this. It's really good. Everybody in your mind, count to 10. I'm going to ask you to do something else. Everybody, right now in your mind, slowly count from 100 to 1 backwards, like 199. Okay? Everybody doing it in your mind? Okay. Now everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
How many know you just lost your count? Didn't you? You had to think about what you were saying. You don't overcome a thought with a thought. You overcome a thought with a word. And this scripture says in Mark 11:23, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You speak to those thoughts. When you hold them captive, how do you hold them captive? You speak to them. You don't tell them, you don't agree with them. You don't, well, if they're good, I guess you could agree with them. You don't allow those schemes to work because you have put on your helmet of salvation. And one of the ways you tighten that thing up when the enemy hits you is by speaking the word to that thought. Amen? Maybe a lustful thought. You got to speak the word to that thought. Maybe a thought of anger. Got to speak to it. Amen? I was upset. I was thinking about something that had been done wrong to me when I was Pastor Lamar. Something I really did, something I thought was pretty rotten. And I was dwelling on it. And finally, after a few moments of that, it's gotten down from hours to minutes to now it's seconds. And I just said, shut up. I'm talking to my thoughts. Are you talking to the devil? Really, I'm not. That scripture didn't even talk about the devil in Corinthians. I'm really just talking to my thoughts that come from the devil. Yeah, I have thoughts that come from the devil. They either come from God or the devil, one of the two. Amen? And I can say to those thoughts, I just say to them, I say, just shut up. I forgive. I'm walking in the love of God, and I release them. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bless them today.
Yes.
And I'd say, how you like that? Amen. You know what I did? I was taking the strap that's on that helmet spiritually and I'm fastening it. Hit me again! See what comes out my mouth. I mean, you don't get there by playing around with this. This is an attack. If, listen, I say this as much love as I can possibly say from God. And you guys know I love you. Right? You're going to lose your head if you don't do this stuff. I know a lot of Christians doing some pretty headless things. I've heard Christians say, the Lord told me to divorce my wife. God didn't tell you that. You told you that. God didn't lead you. Lust led you. Amen. There's a preacher, well-known preacher, got him on TV and won't watch him, love him, pray for him, won't watch him. He said that God told him to leave his wife and marry this other person. And he got the counsel of three other ministers to do it. Well, not only is he stupid, the other three guys are stupid too. Because every one of them are sitting there talking and they ain't got a hat on. Because how many know you put on that helmet of salvation, it protects you against those hits. So let's stand to our feet. Now, how many got something you know is in your mind you need to quit playing with? I'm not going to have everybody bow your heads. I'm like, you look at me head on and say it. How many of you have something in your mind you know that you need to get rid of? Raise your hands up. Keep it up there high. Well, we're going to not think it out. We're going to speak it out. Okay? I want you to say this to me. Say, Father, I thank you.
I'm saved.
I'm fully saved.
I'm saved
in my body.
I'm saved in my mind.
For I have the sound mind. Wait just a minute, brother. I have a sound mind.
My mind is whole.
No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I will not be envious. I walk in the love of God. And your word says, love never fails. And I won't be failing by loving them. I'll be succeeding.
Perfect love.
Cast out fear.
So I love you, Father.
You love me.
And I love people.
So fear.
Bye-bye.
You got to get out of here now. I thank you that I'm blessed. I'm Deuteronomy 28 chapter blessed. I'm blessed coming in.
I'm blessed going out.
My whole storehouse is blessed.
I'm blessed
before I walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't stand in the way of sinners. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. My delight's in your word. And I meditate on day and night. And I'm a tree planted by rivers of living water. And I don't wither. And I bear fruit. In Jesus' name. I am more than a conqueror. And I praise you tonight. My praise is me strapping my helmet of salvation on. And knowing I'm saved. My name's in the book. And I praise you tonight that my name's in the book. Go ahead, Father. In Jesus' name, bless you. Now give the Lord a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, these people that left.